station is powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. It's Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk. You are joined with me, Angela Bryer-Stevenson, the delectable Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And more importantly, our wonderful guest, Jeanette Beetham. Hello, Jeanette.
Good afternoon.
Hey, we got you in the studio. We've locked you in now, that's it. And be prepared to lose some weight in this heat. I have a fan, but I think I'm going to turn it off because it's interfering with our acoustics. So bear with me.
A rumbling in the background.
I'm now going to climb under the desk.
She's going under the desk as we speak.
I'm going down under the desk.
Finding the switch. And silence. That's lovely.
Who cares wins? I'm going in. Cover me. And I have made it.
And she's back.
And I am back. Well, that was quite a nice experience with the breeze on my face. So welcome, listeners. You are tuned in to Who Cares Wins Radio. It's Monday, the 22nd of July. I can't believe where this month is disappearing.
And it's hot, hot, hot.
Fast. But we must not moan about this marvellous sunshine. It is gorgeous. Flock those tourists to our seaside resorts and bring that money into our economy. Anyway, enough of that. We are more importantly here to talk to Jeanette. And Jeanette is from, her business is called Right Resources Limited. And I've known Jeanette for about 12 years.
Yes,
something like that.
Something
it's quite
like that.
A while. She looks okay on it though, doesn't she, Jan?
She does indeed.
Yeah, she's wearing well, knowing me. Bless her. And it was a delight to be able to get you to come down to our studio and share with us your story around dyslexia, but also, more importantly, the aspects that you're now working within the workplace and the work that you do, both as yourself, your own right, but also as we appreciate and we know, and I know, the work that you do as one of the senior associates at the British Dyslexia Association. So there's quite a lot to talk about. Jam-packed show. We've got some music, as always, to give you all a rest from our dulcet tones for a little while. You might need to fill up or maybe go and get another ice cream from the freezer. And we'll give you some tunage so that you can go and do that. So, Jeanette, welcome again. Thank you so much for coming down in this heat. Do appreciate it. But just before we go into the specific work areas that you cover and the work that you do under your business hat, for our listeners, if you could perhaps tell them a little bit about your background in association with dyslexia, because I know that you are dyslexic yourself, and how you actually learnt that, how you came about it or became aware of it, and more importantly, how it then, first of all, perhaps inhibited you, as you said, as we know each other, but later on, how you then learnt different strategies. And now you are this fully fledged entrepreneur like John Tipping last week. So, Jeanette, just a little bit about your background. It's up to you where you start, but probably not at birth.
No, probably. I think we'll run out of time rapidly. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for inviting me.
You're
here.
You're very welcome.
And it's a real pleasure. Thank you. First of all, where did it start? Well, I'd just say that my school days were really pretty awful.
Really?
I ended up at a quite good grammar school in London, but I don't know how I got there. Once I did get there, I was like a fish out of water. Didn't really achieve. I was not the best pupil.
Right.
And then sort of as time went on and the area of art was something I really enjoyed. I didn't feel I was good at it, but I enjoyed it. And I loved rowing and canoeing.
Oh.
And so that was it really. It was sport and it was art. And I thought I was there just to have a good time because lessons just didn't work for me at all. And when it came to O-levels, I sat my O-levels and didn't do very well at all. And then I sat my maths 3 times and I sat my English 3 times. And
good for you for having another go.
Well, it was because if I stayed there, I could still do art and writing. And
there's a method and a madness.
And they didn't really want anyone to leave that school without any qualifications, so they were quite happy. But in terms of low self-esteem and confidence issues, it was definitely, you know, to be the only one in the sixth form still taking O-levels
was not a good feeling,
really. Mm. So I left there, went to college, but then at college they told me my three O-levels that I had, which was English, Maths and Art by that time, weren't enough. I needed another O-level. So at college, for doing display design, I then left and I found a job as an office junior. And within 3 weeks I was promoted to train as an export bookkeeper. And I found that in the workplace I actually seemed to get on quite well. And at that time there was lots of jobs, and so when I was offered promotion I was scared, because I would think, actually no, they're going to find me out. And they'd offer me promotion, I'd move and get a job elsewhere. And so it's that kind of thing. It was easier to be a new person somewhere else than it was to be out of my depth with people who I knew. And that was kind of how it went and how it was. So I never had any qualifications. They suggested at one place that I worked out that I study for the Institute of Export, which I did.
And
then I couldn't get on with the law. I couldn't remember it. So all sorts of things like that. But after I got married, had my children, I then thought, I wonder if I could do more. And so I went and did an access course into art and design. Managed okay. Didn't have a very good time with some of the tutors. And I can actually remember being in tears on two occasions.
No.
Where they looked at my spelling and my structure of my written work and everything else. But I persevered with it. And then everyone else was applying to university. I know how foolish it sounds, but I didn't realise it meant access to further education.
Okay.
And higher education. Everyone was applying to university, so I applied and I got in.
Oh, damn.
And it was the end of 2 months, I thought, I can't do this, I'm going to give up. But I looked for different ways of trying to get my ideas down on paper, and I discovered idea mapping.
Oh, yes.
And once I discovered that, my grades started to pick up. And I started helping other students, and I didn't look back after that.
Fantastic.
And at the end of 3 years, I got a joint honours degree. I got a first in one subject, and I missed a joint on a first by 3 points. So at that stage...
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
At the age of 36, I finally realised I wasn't stupid.
No. And were you aware you had a form of strain or form of dyslexia through that journey?
No, because I now know that I'm what's known as a literate dyslexic person.
Right.
And it's the underlying challenges of dyslexia that affect me.
Okay, explain for their listeners.
Because it means that in my early years and my learning of literacy, it must have been delivered to me in a way that was right for me.
Right.
So chances are it will have been delivered in a multisensory way, which is auditory, visually and kinesthetically.
Yes.
Although I do know that I'm a visual kinesthetic learner.
Right. So that's for the listeners. I always call it see, hear, feel.
Yeah.
So you're seeing, but also the experiential part.
Yeah. And the kinesthetic can be anything from it's emotive learning, as in, you know, you learn from your emotions if you've enjoyed the experience. But it's also about writing things down. It could be that in those early years, you know, playing in the sandpit, modelling the letters out of clay, something like that. But it was obviously delivered to me in a way that was accessible.
Mm.
So I can read, but I can't necessarily tell you what I've just read.
Right.
And that's what happens to a literate dyslexic person.
So that's the memory aspect, I suppose they would then think.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a terrible memory.
Yeah. And I didn't at university, and when I finished university, I didn't realise that it was dyslexia.
Mm.
However, if someone said to me, so what's the problem then? Because I knew there was something not right. I knew it was different. I used to say, I'm not a linear learner. And they'd look at me like a rabbit caught in the headlights. And by the time they were ready to ask me a question, I was gone. Because I didn't know how to explain it, other than the fact that I knew I didn't learn from lines.
That's very good, isn't it? Not a linear learner. No. I like that. And I think that's I'm going more and more down, because you know me, Jeanette, anyway, that I must admit I'm much more visual. I love my pictures and I love diagrams and symbols and signs, mm-hmm. and often the written linear word I find difficult to remember what I've read. Yeah. There is that aspect that yeah. actually I, you know, but if you draw me a picture, I remember that much quicker. So for me, I don't know if idea mapping is the same concept as mind mapping.
It is. It's just a
different name.
It is. Well, mind mapping was patented by Tony Bazan.
Yeah, sure.
And also, more often than not, when you see mind mapping, it tends to be like the branches of a tree.
Mm.
Whereas idea mapping kind of just describes a more general approach, but actually it's more of a hub and spoke. So you, okay. you can actually put into place more of a hierarchy. So you've got your theme, your subheadings, and then and so it actually, for if it's delivered in a way that's useful to a dyslexic person, it can really help them with structuring their thoughts,
mm.
ready for verbal communication as well as organising their thoughts for written work. So
for written work and yeah, study, and as you study, say, and yeah. exams, etc.
So for me, that was the way through, and art obviously was the way for me, because mm. I part of my degree was art, so that right. was great. So, and then I was unemployed again. I've had three times of being made redundant.
Oh, right.
But then managed to get a job working with Prince's Trust.
Yes.
And I, first of all, was an outreach worker.
Oh, yes.
And then as an area manager. And then working with young people who were overcoming challenge. And a lot of those young people were people who had specific learning difficulties, including dyslexia.
Yes.
And so I was already working with dyslexic people without actually realising and putting this name to it.
Yes, this label.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So then I don't know, different jobs. I qualified as a business advisor.
Yes.
I then became a social enterprise advisor. One
yes,
of the first.
That's another stream of yours, yeah. which for another show.
Yes, yeah. and started sort of really using my creativity
mm.
in a way around business. And actually, one of the strengths of dyslexia, it's recognised, is that entrepreneurial flair. So there are actually mm. strengths associated with dyslexia, not just challenges. So over time, in terms certainly with the social enterprise aspect, I was then asked to get involved with the British Dyslexia Association, who were looking at social enterprise activity to sustain their charity.
Yeah.
And then once I got involved, I started to learn more about dyslexia, and then ka-ching,
ka-ching, it was me.
And they actually asked me to start rolling out their training programs.
Fantastic.
And getting involved with them. So that's how I first of all got involved with British Dyslexia Association.
Right. And of course you now do work for, you know, they are one of their senior associates, aren't you? And
yeah.
then you're able to go out to employers and do, is it like awareness sessions or workplace coaching or programs or workshops?
Well, when I first got involved, I could have been delivering to teachers or governors, doing insets in schools, open programs,
mm.
working with parents, as well as working in the workplace. So that was the first thing. I was actually out there delivering awareness and practical solutions, so coping strategies.
Mm, which is very important, isn't it, about those strategies. So you had the idea mapping, and John talked about those strategies, and also technology, how that can help as well, and I'm sure you're aware of that. But if I can just take our listeners back as well, for me especially, and I'm sure there might be other listeners, this the word, if I use the label dyslexia, what is it?
Well, dys means difficulty with,
mm-hmm.
and lexia means lexicon, vocabulary, words, whatever.
Right.
However, that might be where it shows itself with some people. However, there's a whole host of things happening underneath. So it's the underlying challenges that can affect people's acquisition of literacy and numeracy and musical notation. And
right.
it's all of those underlying challenges that most people, even if they are dyslexic, don't necessarily understand. And
wow.
even if they've had full diagnostic assessments for their dyslexia, more often than not, they've not had the opportunity to sit down with someone and have dyslexia actually explained to them.
Which often is the, you know, that's the key sometimes,
yes.
isn't it? Unlock that.
Yeah.
And then we can start, it's like anything, whether it's
you
anything
go to
in
the
life,
doctor
really.
And he
yes.
says, you know, you've got blah, blah, blah in yeah. your elbow, and you think, go away, think, okay, that's why it hurts.
Yeah.
You think, but what should I do? What shouldn't I do? How can I help it? what do I do next?
Indeed.
And you very rarely get that extra bit of information.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, also our co-presenter, the lovely Sue Parker, who, again, listeners, isn't with us in the studio, but she's tuned in and listening. Hello, Sue. She's saying hello back. I can hear her. But we've been nagging her, haven't we? Because, then you know, again, you have to chase up. Because once you can sometimes get a definition, or you can get something assessed, or you work out, ah, now I can get the key, I can unlock certain strategies, I can start seeking help and finding out what's out there, what can I do about it. But unless I'm still in this unknown entity, it is very hard to actually take the, you know, you don't even know what step to take next.
No, that's right. And if you haven't had that, if you don't have that foundation in place, you can't build effective strategies because you don't know what you're dealing with. And someone who's dyslexic, there's a genetic predisposition. Mm. So it's, we know that it's multiple genes. We know one
that's
particular...
That's not the Dylan variety,
no, it isn't. It isn't. We do know the name of one of them.
Really?
Which they've recently discovered is carried by 15% of the population, which is KIAA0319, which means diddly squat to us. however...
And I won't remember that at all, Jeanette.
It does mean that, you know, ongoing research into dyslexia, and they are finding out more. So we did think it was 10% of the population. We now know it's between 10 and 15% of the population.
Right.
However, if someone is born dyslexic, that is just part of them. They won't know any difference.
So no, that's
they
their
won't know what
world.
Their dyslexia is doing to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
and so it's all these underlying challenges that they really need to understand, and then they can start to build more strategies to help them, not just in work, but actually in life in general. Because
indeed.
Dyslexia is 24/7.
Yes, it's not a 9-to-5, is
no.
it?
No. And so it's, you know, it's. I feel really privileged to be able to do this kind of work because as well as doing the awareness raising, I then went on to actually work with employers, which, you know, I did all of that work. And now I work within the workplace. But I do a whole host of different things. And
we're
going to
explore that a little bit later.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, Jeanette, but Jan is slowly sliding over there in the corner. So maybe we get the fan going. So while we have the fan on and we can get some airflow, we'll have a bit of music. And I'll get that fan going.
Winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an rock. Build walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. Talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. Protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island.
and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries.
Channel Radio.
Angela's.
Hey, oh. I think I've... Well, hang on, let me just put it on. Yeah, I've turned it off.
Can you hear me, Mother?
Can you hear me, Mother? I think we're on... Yes. Yes, the silence. Silence is golden. So, let me just shut that. There we are. We've locked everyone out and we're now back into our steam room. I think this is quite therapeutic, actually. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio on Monday, the 22nd of July, with myself, Angela Bryer-Stevenson, and Jan Mulligan. With the distant Sue Parker, who is rubbing it in, by the way, listeners. She is tweeting saying she's having an ice cream. Anyone else for ice cream? Yes, Sue, we'll be round later. Thank you very much. So, Jeanette, we've been chatting with Jeanette Beetham of Right Resources Limited. And that was I Am a Rock. And that's quite appropriate, I think, because in some respects, there's the rock and we don't need to stay on there. We need to get off the rock and we need to seek help and explore and find out. But also sometimes we're a rock, we're an island. We are individual. We are our own person. And is it about having a label? Oh, well, you're not like normal people. Well, actually, no, I'm just me. I'm Jeanette. I'm Angela. And these are the strategies that I deal with to get through life, workplace, certain, you know, family events or whatever it might be. So, Jeanette, you started to go into the workplace work that you're doing, the awareness, you know, you did the awareness sessions within the workplace or teachers and schools. So under the Right Resources Limited business, so that's you, but also you have the BDA, the British Dyslexia Association. You do some work as one of their senior associates. So is there a difference between the two? You know, explain to our listeners what sort of work you do under those banners.
Well, I do a lot of work with the British Dyslexia Association, and depending on what the day is, depends on the kind of work I get to do, actually. Okay. I'm a workplace needs assessor, and right. I'd like to talk to you about that kind of work in a moment.
Sure.
I also do one-to-one strategy coaching for individuals in the workplace.
Yep.
I also deliver the British Dyslexia Association accredited training for workplace needs assessors, because people who are out there doing workplace needs assessments for dyslexia really need a qualification in it. There was a lot of, confusion.
What's the best word?
Confusion. I'm going to try and be polite. There was quite a lot of confusion out there as to what dyslexia actually was. Plus, there's always been a big stigma associated with it.
Sure. Do you think there is still confusion? We're not there yet, are we?
No, we're definitely not there yet. Mm. It has absolutely no bearing on a person's IQ. A person can be not very bright and be dyslexic, and they can be very bright and be dyslexic, and anywhere in between.
Sure.
However, as it was treated as a mental health issue from, you know, as late as late 60s, early 70s, you can see how there is still a stigma associated with it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And as we heard from John, you know, he was labelled, you know, thick and stupid. Yeah. And, you know, that was unfortunately what happened.
And for a lot of people, they will actually describe themselves as feeling stupid.
Really?
Especially in an education situation or in a training environment in the workplace. Mm. If they're not... And it takes you right back to your baseline of those feelings that you had when you were a child, unfortunately.
Yes, of course.
So, so I do workplace needs assessments, coaching, awareness in the workplace, because a lot of employers are still not aware of the opportunity of dyslexia, because there are also strengths associated with it.
Yes, as you said earlier.
Mm. And the fact that if there are people underperforming, there's an opportunity for those people to get support and be able to be a really valuable resource. And if they feel confident, then they're more likely to really exploit those strengths that they've got.
Mm.
So,
I mean, I'm all for my, as you know, background in HR and human resource professionals, that at the end of the day, if we can look at our workforce, then we're looking at their productivity, their performance. But of course, if we look at happy employees, then we look at happy employees, productivity. If we look at enhanced performance, but also it's just the individual, coming back to what you said, Jeanette, that confidence themselves as well. So who cares wins. We all win if we're looking at who cares. And what are we caring about?
Yeah, absolutely. And most employers, I mean, if you need the pointy stick on dyslexia, actually, employers probably don't realise that they have an obligation under the Equality Act to be dyslexia friendly.
Yes.
Because after a landmark case in 2007, all dyslexia is now covered under the Equality Act. It was then obviously the Disability Discrimination Act.
Yes, that's right.
But now the Equality Act. Because up until then, it was only severely dyslexic people who were covered under the law then.
Mm.
But with a key case with a chief inspector in the Metropolitan Police, then in 2007, mild and moderate dyslexic people are also covered under the law now. So every workplace really has an obligation to be dyslexia friendly. Mm. So if you need the pointy stick, there's that.
There's the pointy stick, yeah.
More people will start to realise that actually being dyslexia friendly just makes good business sense.
It
because
does.
You're giving your employees the opportunity to fulfil their potential and have a positive impact on your bottom line.
Mm. So it is. It's win-win all round for the individual, for the employer, for the actual workplace,
for the
well-being. And for the actual customers, but then for the customers, yeah. And the profitability and the sustainability and all of those illability words that I can't pronounce. But it is that whole, everything then becomes joined up. And it's, the, as you say, why wouldn't employers want to actually look at their workforce and look at their employees and what else can we offer them around
well, the first thought is always, oh, I need to spend money.
Mm.
But actually, you're losing money
yeah.
by not doing anything. And therefore, looking wisely about how to invest your money, tapping into funding sources, which I'm sure Jeanette will talk about in a moment, such as Access to Work. But you invest in your staff. You've already invested by giving somebody a job,
yeah.
by promoting them if they're capable, if they're willing. So why not make sure that they're doing the best that they can and they feel happy about it?
Mm.
And it doesn't take much. And as you say, it's win-win in all directions because if you're developing some literature, some training manuals, whatever it is in-house that's dyslexia friendly, that will roll out to your marketing material, any brochures, any material you send out to clients. You're then attracting a whole new customer base that can now access your services that couldn't before.
Well, at the end of the day, the marvellous from my days in HR years ago, but the company's little strap lines about our, you know, people are our greatest asset. And of course, lots and lots of businesses, as part from, there's technology, but at the end of the day, the technology still needs an end user. And so we still need those people.
Mm-hmm.
So people are the business, whether it is a product or a service or a techie bit of kit. At the end of the day, you still have the people and you need those people. So of course, if we can look at every possibility, every avenue that can help every person, that unique entity, become themselves and become confident, and there's an element of responsibility, but as I say, it's like training from my ban of the world of work. Training, oh yes, you can spend millions on training courses, but it's the follow-up, it's the support, it's what else is in there. Otherwise it's just money that's, well, we're just paying lip service to something, we're not really embedding that in the organization.
Yeah, the other part about that is that if you are becoming dyslexia friendly in your organisation, if you then send people on training courses or you have trainers in and they are not delivering in an accessible way, you're actually wasting money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of something that's a bit like dropping a pebble in a pond.
Yeah.
It's, well, you start and then it ripples out.
Yeah, as it can with everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So and what a lot of people don't realise is if there are performance issues with a member of staff, then it could be dyslexia. Because as I said in the beginning, there are countless literate dyslexic people out there who are probably coping to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And then something happens, whether it's a change of process, a new job, a change of manager, and suddenly they're not coping anymore. And it's those underlying challenges of dyslexia that are affecting them. And the underlying challenges are visual processing challenges, phonological processing challenges, problems with short-term memory and working memory, problems with organising and sequence and order, time and time management, and stress.
And of course, the stereotypical, sorry for any trainers out there that have a stereotypical hat on perhaps at the moment, time management course. We'll send you one of those. But maybe that's not the issue.
No.
And they need to look at what are the strategies, what are the coping strategies, and actually trying to find out from the employee. My passion in life is to actually find out, well, let's look at the actual
if you like, rather than the symptoms, we're looking at the deep-rooted cause, because obviously if you can get down there, then we start to actually work on that change process, yeah, that everyone then starts to feel better. So this workplace needs assessment that you do. So you go in, is it a day? Is it, how does that work for organisations?
It depends really whether it's being done privately or whether it's being done via Access to Work.
Which would be a funded way, would it?
If we talk about that in a moment. Yeah, if I sure. just sort of give you the overview of what the workplace needs assessment is, if that's okay, is that it's completely different from a diagnostic assessment of dyslexia. Okay, a workplace needs assessor goes in and assesses the person's needs in relation to their job and their job role, and then makes recommendations for reasonable adjustments to help that person and level the playing field for them. And at one time it was kind of lots of software would have been prescribed and maybe training for software. But actually, that wasn't the most useful thing because they really needed one-to-one strategy coaching to help them integrate those new tools into their work role.
Yes.
And so that's what happens. There's recommendations are made. And it, as I say, it's usually a prescription that's unique to that individual and the challenges they're having. There isn't a one-size-fits-all.
No, I bet.
And the coaching has to be delivered by someone who is a dyslexia specialist.
Yeah.
Because just recently I had a really good example of something going badly wrong with somebody. And I was asked to step in after someone had had four sessions of coaching. And this was not part of the British Dyslexia Association.
No, it was a completely separate. Okay, yeah.
And I was asked to step in, and the lady that I went to work with was very sceptical about me going in because of the experience she's had in first few sessions with someone. And she was in a senior HR management role. And I said to her, has anyone ever explained your dyslexia to you? And she said, no. This is someone who was about 50 and had coaching, okay? And this was supposed to be dyslexia specialist coaching. So I went through and I explained, and we did an overview, and the lady just melted in front of me. She said, oh my goodness, why has no one told me this before? She said, I'm so relieved about this, because actually, following that other coaching I had, I thought I had early onset dementia.
Oh my goodness. God.
Because so what the coach had done is overloaded her with coaching jargon and, you know, sort of methods and various things, but they weren't dyslexia friendly. So sometimes, unfortunately, that little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. So there are people out there saying that they can do this, but they don't fully understand.
And so if I was an employer listening in now and thinking, actually, maybe I've got somebody having some coaching at the moment, and actually, yeah, maybe these things aren't working, maybe I need to come and talk to Jeanette. So it's a different process that you're using. So how would I know that you are ticking my box for, you know, qualified to do it, as opposed to perhaps this other person
I'm a qualified workplace needs assessor.
So that's one tick.
That's one. Yeah. Being a senior associate at the British Dyslexia Association, having done that for about 8 years now.
So would that be a sort of, again, another must have if I'm looking for quality?
No, you would need someone who is a qualified workplace needs assessor for dyslexia and specific learning difficulties.
And apart from that person telling you that they are qualified, is there a register? Can one check?
It's a little bit tricky at the moment. We've not evolved far enough for that.
Right.
And I would say that if you went via the British Dyslexia Association, they will obviously send out someone who is under qualified there to do that. Or your local Dyslexia Association may know someone. I recently went and spoke at the South Kent Dyslexia Association and told them about workplace needs assessments, because really what most of the local associations do is focus on education.
Okay.
So I think we've come a long way in a very relatively short space of time, and so a lot of people are still very much focusing on education and less about the workplace. So it's still a learning process for some of the local associations. So I would say the British Dyslexia Association has a free helpline, so you could phone up regardless of whether it's workplace, whether you're an employer or an individual, and whether it's about education, and they will give you advice.
Great.
Okay, so there's that. if you're an individual in the workplace and you're struggling and you think, oh my goodness, what shall I do? Because obviously dyslexia is stressful, and stressful situations make the dyslexia worse.
Sure, I can imagine.
So workplace well-being is a big aspect of this. But this is where Access to Work comes in, because it's a government initiative to level the playing field for people who have disabilities. And I think this word disability, if you just think about it as being dis difficulty with an ability, being able to do something, then dyslexia is a disability in that sense, because they're having difficulty being able to do something.
Yes.
And it's related to all those underlying challenges.
Sure.
So they can phone Access to Work, which is part of Department of Work and Pensions.
Right.
And you can get
DWP.
And ask if they can have a workplace needs assessment done. They do not need to have a diagnostic assessment of dyslexia to be able to qualify for a workplace needs assessment via Access to Work.
Okay, fantastic.
So that's a change. Historically, you had to have the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And that put a lot of people off, because you have to find the funding to get the diagnosis
before
you could go to Access to Work. So that's a really good, positive move.
It's a better way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm melting again, so yeah, I think it's time to put the fan on. So we'll have some tunes, which I know this one is a favourite of Jeanette's, and we'll find out why afterwards. We'll have a sing-along first, shall we, Jeanette?
Channel Radio.
So, I wonder if anyone guessed the link with the music. So, Jeanette, please do share. There is a link, isn't there, with that music track?
Yes, I love UB40.
That's answer A. And answer B.
And there was an answer C, though. There was a bit of a link.
There was, a 1 in 10. Until fairly recently, we you know, we're all talking about 10% of the population being dyslexic, so there is that link.
There's one
yes.
in 10, but yes. Yeah, we'll go for the UB40.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. Jan's just putting a few more bits of water on the sauna in the corner there. So, yes, all we need is one of those wonderful ice pools to dive into after the show, don't we? We can just then all become Swedish, or is it Swedish they do that? They jump out of the sauna into an ice-cold bath. Mad people that they are. Although I think it's actually rather a good idea today.
Now you see why.
Indeed. So, Jeanette, I'd just like to expand. We are running short of time now with our show, and we could talk for hours, although probably outside in the breeze rather than in here. I just wanted to follow on and pick up the coaching side of things that you're doing and you've done with individuals. You're coaching them around strategies. So is that, as the workplace would contact you directly, or would it come out of perhaps a work needs assessment or a workplace awareness session, for example, that you've done?
It can come from almost anywhere.
Okay.
It can come, someone can contact me and just say, I'd like some strategy coaching, please.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an employer asking me for that. It can be an employer asking for a workplace needs assessment and coaching.
Okay.
Because they, you know, once they know of you, they want the package, as it were. Or obviously British Dyslexia Association will say to me, we've got a piece of work here, you know, can you do this for us, which is lovely. So I do whatever comes my way, quite honestly.
Sure.
The British Dyslexia Association doesn't employ trainers.
Right.
It has a head of training, and that person goes out and delivers some workshops.
Okay.
But most of their training and coaching is delivered by associates. And so that's why there's my company and there's British Dyslexia Association. So it depends whether I'm doing work for the charity or whether I'm doing, or other organisations who ask me, and or whether I'm doing it under, you know, Jeanette Beetham, really. So there's all sorts.
Okay. And I know that we were also talking just before the show that there's also something that you're pulling together that's actually quite unique around coaching. And so there's something that is maybe an offer for our listeners out there.
Yeah, I'm increasingly being asked to deliver strategy coaching training for people who are quite a long way from me.
Oh, right.
Either Ireland or the Channel Islands or even further.
Because on that note, just to interrupt you, I'm assuming you are UK-wide?
I am
UK-wide. Europe-wide?
Yeah.
Global?
If someone wants me, but of course we're talking English speakers. So
okay.
It would, you know, it's...
So is your Italian no good then?
No, I have trouble with English, surprisingly.
You do very well.
Oh, thank you. This is where it all goes wrong.
Yeah. No, sorry. So UK, you are running around the country living out of a suitcase then, type touch?
Well, I try to schedule my work so that I'm not dashing here, there and everywhere.
Sure.
And I do, you know, but living in East Kent, you do tend to be on the road quite a bit.
Yes.
Everything seems to be around the M25 and off somewhere else.
It's all up north, as far as I'm concerned.
But, yes. You know, I mean, I've flown up to Aberdeen to work,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So
sure.
I can go anywhere,
yeah.
depending on the work that I'm being asked to do. That would tend to be the consultancy type work,
okay,
rather than the coaching. So
yes.
What I'm working on is I'm looking at doing some distance coaching,
right.
around specific learning difficulties, because I can be working with police, legal, medical, I can be working with anyone at any level with an organisation or in any type of organisation.
Mm.
So to be able to offer the flexibility of being able to have an initial meeting with them and then do some distance coaching, I think, you know, I think it would work.
Yes,
and I am being
definitely.
Asked for it. So yeah, I've got a kind of call out really to people. If there's someone who's familiar and confident with the computer.
Yes.
And where English is their first language.
Sure.
And if they're prepared to meet me for the first meeting in London, I'm offering 3 coaching sessions.
Oh, wow.
For 2 people to help me sort of pilot
this,
really.
To build and pilot this yeah. process. Yeah, so you heard it here first, folks, on Who Cares Wins Radio, hot off the press. Hot. Did you like that link there?
Yes.
Thank you. So
sizzling.
How would it be that I need to be, you know, struggling with something, so I could be an employee in the workplace, or I could be just somebody within life itself generally?
It would be an employee in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
Or someone who's self-employed or running their own business.
Okay, yeah.
Equally, there are sort of avenues of support out there if people are in the workplace. There are a lot of people who are unemployed.
Mm,
and struggling
absolutely.
To get help, and actually they may not be able to get access to work help. So if there's someone who knows that they struggle with organisation, emails, managing meetings, organising their desk, their workload,
yes,
and they've had that experience of being overwhelmed in the past, and they're trying to get back to work, then actually, yes, I'm more than happy to work with somebody if they're in that position, because I feel that their options are quite limited, really,
yeah.
in
oh,
terms
that's
of
fantastic.
Getting help. So
thank
yeah.
you, because I mean, I know from my world of coaching, I do, you know, with Skype, the ability of utilizing that for sessions, telephone conference calls, so is it something like Skype, is it that you would be using, that they would have this distance over?
Well, I want to trial a couple of things.
Okay.
Skype is one of them, but I want to use something a bit more structured, a new tool that I've discovered.
Fantastic.
So they really are guinea pigs.
Ooh, wow.
So
exciting.
Have to ground floor,
be prepared to to kind of go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Well, that's
yeah.
great, though.
It'd be great if
learning and helping develop that.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
But I'd really appreciate it if there's a couple of people who would like to kind of work with me. Then
I'm sure they
would
after listening to you just in this short period of time. So, Jeanette, how, for the best purposes of getting hold of you, what would be the main contact details for our listener, which we will also post
on
our
Facebook
pages and our LinkedIn pages. So if you haven't got a pen, listener, don't panic. We will reiterate this information. But how best would we get hold of you?
Well, on my website, which is just JeanetteBeetham.co.uk, there's a contact form.
JeanetteBeetham.co.uk.
There's a contact form on there.
Okay.
And on that site, you can actually find out a little bit more about me.
Oh, good.
If you're interested in finding out. Probably completely had enough of me
no.
by now. Then there's my blog, which is thinkdyslexia.com and .co.uk. So you can add some, you can contact me on that. Or,
is an email, would an email go from, would you have an email on the website, or would it be the contact form? Would that be better?
There are two web addresses. The email address, probably the best one, is thinkdyslexia@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So
thinkdyslexia@gmail.com. And of course, you are on Twitter as well. So for our followers or our listeners on Twitter, you are on there. Again, the main one probably to use would be
Think Dyslexia.
Think Dyslexia.
And also on Facebook, Think Dyslexia as well.
Fantastic. So we can make sure. I think I've liked everything. I don't think I might have got you on Facebook. So put that on my to-do list. Go do that. And I'm finished. It has been a complete delight to actually explore this subject in much more depth with you, Jeanette, and obviously your experiences as well to share for our listeners, because the stories, as we often say to our listeners, is part of the inspirational part of is the show, to get people to realise that it's not just a selling show and these people are here to go and book them. We want to share information, tips, stories.
Absolutely.
And the insight. And so we do actually finish with an inspirational insight. So I know that we're going to pick on you, Jeanette, towards the end of the show, because I know that you have like a little mantra or a little phrase that you feel sums up a lot of what you do personally and also within your work. But I think before we do, I need another break. I need some water, actually. So I'm just going to pop on a little bit of light music.
Falls apart, I guess it does. doesn't really matter about the rain, cause we'll get through it anyway. We'll get up and start again, cause we could be lifting, lifting, lifting. We could be lifting from the shadow, lifted. Oh, we could be lifted up today, lifted all the way. You and I forever, baby, lifting, lifting, lifting. Hey, yeah, yeah. It's undisturbable.
I'm suitably refreshed and lifted and back down to ground now. Back to Who Cares Wins Radio. You are listening to myself, Angela Bryer Stevenson, and Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon.
She's behaving in the queer. Yeah, she'll be a very good girl. And our wonderful guest for today is Jeanette Beetham of Right Resources Limited. And we are fast approaching the end of our show. So, Jeanette, with that offer in mind, we talked about, and we've talked about the contact details. We also have you on Twitter. Any final words of contact or any other places people can go to, any websites of information? We've mentioned British Dyslexia Association and also the local dyslexia sort of not clubs, what did you call
the local associations,
local associations. Any yeah. Anywhere else that people can tap into?
Well, I would say, just, you know, reiterating what we were saying about access to work, that yeah. if an individual is in the workplace and struggling, you know, it's difficult to make that first step because sure. actually you're worried about what your employer's going to think and everything mm. else. So obviously, ideally, it's, you know, have a chat with your line manager or someone in HR.
Yeah.
But phone access to work, because they will decide on a case-by-case basis, but I haven't met anyone yet who's been refused a workplace needs assessment.
Good. Great stuff.
Well,
thank you for that.
Yeah.
So just before we finish, those listeners who are now regularly aware of our format, we have any shout-outs for events or anything that's going on around the health and well-being aspect. And so two events that I've got a big shout-out for. The first one is a massive, massive shout-out. Some of you may know from the listeners of the Business Bunker show, that you may know of Lisa Settle, who is involved and runs the organisation called Telcare. And she, in her mad moment earlier on in the year, and her husband, to do with a some special birthday that she's having this year.
She's five again.
Something like that, yes. And she is deciding to do something to celebrate it. And her and her hubby signed up to do the Yorkshire Three Peaks Challenge. Jeanette's face. And they're helping not only to do it, they're helping to raise money to find a cure for diabetes type 1, which also is very close to Lisa's heart, as her own son was diagnosed 12 years ago and has to now inject insulin four times a day, and he has to check his blood sugar levels four times a day. And she knows there's lots of research already done, but there's so much more that can be done, so that she would love to see a day, and I'm sure others would, where type 1 diabetes could be injection free. So she's doing this challenge to not only tick a box in her little list, but she's also doing this challenge to raise some more funding so that more research can be done. So on the 28th of September, listener, she will be zooming off to Settle. That's very apt, isn't it? Lisa Settle, off to Settle. And she's going to climb the Three Peaks in one day, which she said for her is a challenge because she does get out of breath going up the stairs. So I hope that you are doing some training, Lisa.
We wish you well.
And we will post all the sites for you too, because you can donate by text. And you can also donate by the justgiving.com webpage, which she has, which is /Lisa-Marie-Settle. But we'll put all that on our Facebook Who Cares Wins page for you. We'll also tweet it out so people can get those links and actually get on there and fund you. We also have another event which is coming up in November with More Than Yoga. They're doing a seaside yoga retreat. So again, we'll post those details on the Facebook website so that you can grab them and contact them if you want some yoga retreat by the seaside. So just before we go off air, I'd just like to bring in this inspirational insight that we normally finish the show with. Jeanette, you have a lovely little quote, which you've also added your strapline to.
Well, my strapline is, when ability and performance just don't seem to match, think dyslexia. Because dyslexia is just a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
And so the line is, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Yes. Oh, that's on my website. Oh, another journey begins. Thank you for that quote there. So next week we have Lynn Marchant in the studio, and she is Kent Mindful Employer. So we're going to hear about well-being within the workplace, specifically around mental well-being in the workplace. So tune in 3 o'clock next week, channelradio.co.uk. You've been listening to Who Cares Wins with myself, Angela Bryan-Stevenson, Jan Mulligan.
Have a good week, everybody.
And the lovely, thank you so much, Jeanette, for being here. Jeanette Beetham of Right Resources Limited.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Goodbye, everybody. Take care.
Bye.